Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome to Off in the S's, a podcast focusing on the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. I'm your host, Stu, and today we are going to be going over the Hyundai Monterey Sports Car Championship that took place at WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca over the past weekend, and all of the news to come out of this weekend's races. Well, kicking things off, we are going into some LMDH news, where Porsche will allocate a maximum of 4 LMDH customer cars in addition to its quartet of factory run race cars next year, according to the manufacturer's head of motorsports, Thomas Lodenbach. Porsche Penske Motorsport Works teams are due to run a pair of Porsche LMDHs in IMSA's GTP category and also a pair in the World Endurance Championship's sister hypercar category. The number of customer-based Porsche LMDHs can increase beyond 4 in seasons after, but the manufacturer has not yet confirmed or come to a decision on what that number would be or if that is going to be offered. It is said that by one privateer team boss that its estimated running costs of a Porsche LMDH car over the course of the season would be in the range of $6.5 to $8.5 million in USD, and that is on top of the $2.7 million initial price tag for the car. Well, in addition to securing that last-minute ride this weekend over at Team Korthoff Motorsports, Dirk Mueller has been confirmed as the third Korthoff Motorsports driver for the Salins 6 Hours of the Glen and the season-ending Motul Petit Le Mans at Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta. The Multimatic contracted driver will be making his second start this season in the Gilbert Korthoff Motorsports Mercedes. His first was not with the team, but making his second start of the season after starting the Rolex 24 Hours of Daytona. Meanwhile, though, heading into some pre-event news and practice sessions, I mean, usually they're not that exciting, not that eventful, and this weekend it was much of the same as Wayne Taylor Racing dominated the uneventful practice sessions, with there only being one really significant incident to worth mentioning, and that came out of the 0-1 Cadillac Chip Ganassi camp as driver Ranga van der Zander backed the car into the turn 5 barriers during free practice 1. In the incident, the car did sustain damage to the rear of the car, but it was relatively minimal, and the car was later brought back out on track in practice, where it did improve on its practice lap time, so maybe not anything that really reared its head in that moment, and I'm sure the team did a really thorough once-over of the car after that, but you can't help but wonder, some of the problems that they sustained over the rest of the weekend, well, we'll talk about those in a minute, but remember this moment, because it might play on further later on in the race weekend. Later on in the weekend, it was Wayne Taylor Racing's Ricky Taylor and Meyer Shank Racing's Oliver Jarvis that swept the front row for Acura in an extremely tight and competitive DPI qualifying session. Ricky Taylor, of course, the Wayne Taylor Racing driver, paced the field with a 113.924 second lap to edge out Jarvis narrowly in the number 60 Meyer Shank Racing Acura by just 0.089 seconds. Alex Lynn managed to be the best of the Cadillacs in the number 02 Chip Ganassi Racing Cadillac, and he was just 0.059 seconds off of Jarvis. So you look at those top three cars and separated by, what, about 1.2 tenths of a second? It's 1.3. It was an extremely close qualifying session up there in DPI, and it was very close right till the very end in the race as well. In LMP2, it saw a 1-2 sweep of the front row for the PR1 Matheson Motorsports entries, led by Stephen Thomas in the number 11, who set a 117.571 seconds, which is 0.2 ahead of his teammate, number 52, driven by Patrick Kelly. The number 81 Dragon Speed entry of Henrik Hedman rolled off the grid in third place. Meanwhile, in GTD Pro, it was Mathieu Jaminet who took the number 9 of Pfaffa Motorsports Porsche to the GTD Pro class pole with a time of 123.142 to edge out Danny Junkadella in the number 79 WeatherTech Racing Mercedes by, get this, even tighter than it was in DPI, 0.022 seconds. Alex Ramirez qualified third in the Heart of Racing Aston. In GTD, it was Russell Ward in the number 57 Mercedes who took pole for Windward Racing with a 123.567, which is 0.2 ahead of Jaden Conright, who took second in the number 42 NTE Sport Lamborghini. And Robbie Foley qualified in third in the Turner Motorsports number 96 BMW with a 123.821. The Porsche Carrera Cup was also at Laguna Seca this weekend, and it was Parker Thompson who broke Kaylan Verlo's 4-race win streak in the Porsche Carrera Cup North America by sweeping both of the races at Laguna Seca. Yes, he didn't just take one, he took both of them. In race one, it was Thompson, Trenton Erstep, and Riley Dickinson on the podium, while in race two, it was Thompson who led Riley Dickinson and Kay Van Berlo in a battle that went down to the wire between all three of those cars, finishing extremely close together in that second race. And hopefully is going to be a taste of the rest of the season to come. What does this mean coming out of Laguna? Well, even though Van Berlo won the first four races of the championship, his points lead shrunk significantly to just 22 points, with the next race in the Porsche Carrera Cup North America taking place on the 6 Hours of the Glen race weekend. Also in action this weekend was the IMSA Michelin Pilot Challenge, where it was Kenton Koch in the number 56 Murillo Racing Mercedes who took pole for the Grand Sport category. It was almost half a second, 4 and a bit tenths faster than Alexander Primit's number 28 RS1 Porsche and Hugh Plum in the number 46 Team TGM Porsche. Meanwhile, in TCR, it was Harry Gottsacker who claimed the top qualifying honors there. He recorded a best lap time of 132.754 in the number 98 Hyundai Elantra. Chris Miller in the number 17 Unitronic JDC Miller Motorsports Audi was just under half a second behind. And the number 5 KMW Motorsports with TMR Engineering Alfa Romeo of Roy Block qualified third in class. In the race, though, it was Trent Hidman in the number 7 Volt Racing Aston Martin Vantage who held off a late race challenge from Bill Oberlin in the number 95 Turner Motorsport BMW to take he and Alan Bjornsson's first victory of the season. It was not Oberlin who crossed the line in second, surprisingly, though, as he was forced to make a final stop in the closing minutes of the race as the result of a tire puncture. That gave second place to the number 28 RS1 Porsche of Stephen McAleer, who finished 2.5 seconds adrift of the race-winning car. Meanwhile, the number 14 Riley Motorsports Toyota of Alfredo Najari and Tiago Camillo completed the podium. TCR was just a little bit more dicey, though, as the win came down to a late race penalty, as the KMW Motorsports with TMR Engineering's Roy Block and Tim Lewis Jr. took their second class win of the season in their Alfa Romeo. This came after, with just 4 minutes to go in the race, leader John Morley in the number 61 Road Shagger Racing Audi was forced to serve a drive-through penalty for incident responsibility after contact with the number 2 Brian Herta Autosport Hyundai of Ryan Norman in turn 1. 3.3 seconds behind them was the number 15 Bellegarde and Techniseal Racing Audi of Dennis DuPont, who edged out the number 19 Vandister Racing Hyundai Veloster of Tyler Gonzalez at the line. The result means that Bjornsson and Hindman have a 90-point lead on Stephen McAleer in that Grand Sport category, while in TCR, it is Michael Lewis and Taylor Hagler who still lead Roy Block and Tim Lewis Jr. by just 30 points. The next race for the IMSA Michelin Pilot Challenge will be at the next round in Mid-Ohio. Before we get into the race rundown, now's a great opportunity to make sure that you are subscribed to Off in the S's on your favorite podcasting app to make sure you never miss an episode. You can also interact with us on Twitter at Off in the S's or on YouTube at Off in the S's Podcast. Links to both of those can be found in the show notes. On Sunday, it was Wayne Taylor Racing that won a traffic-filled Hyundai Monterey Sports Car Championship and picked up their first win of the season. Felipe Albuquerque took the number 10 Acura to a just a little bit over a second win over Tom Blomqvist and Meyer Shank Racing to give Acura a 1-2 race finish. It is Acura's fourth straight win at the track and Ricky Taylor's third consecutive win at Laguna Seca. The two Acuras dominated the day, but especially the number 10, who had stretched out a lead before the only full course yellow of the day came out after a crash for the number 57 Windward Racing Mercedes, which, in that crash, put the status of that car's chassis into question for the next round at Mid-Ohio. Meyer Shank Racing, though, took the lead on an undercut strategy shortly after, but was not able to hold it long as Albuquerque made an aggressive move into the corkscrew to retake the lead. This battle, though, would not have ever happened had the Meyer Shank Racing entry got a clean run off of the pit road. Unfortunately, traffic got in their way and it ultimately opened the door again for Albuquerque, who took full advantage of it. And once this pass was made, there was no looking back. It's a very difficult track to pass at Laguna Seca, not very many good passing opportunities. And Albuquerque did a great job to bring that car home in P1. And like we mentioned, just a little bit over a second over Tom Blomqvist, who Tom Blomqvist was quoted after the race as believing that they indeed did have the faster car between the two, but just unfortunately was not able to get past. The number 31 Action Express Racing Cadillac of Pipo Durrani and Tristan Nunez completed the podium a distant 26 seconds behind. It was an Acura-dominated race. Qualifying was close. Acura dominated in the race. And just like that, maybe some of these BOP adjustments are starting to swing things back in Acura's favor a little bit here. Other notables in the DPI category, though, were Chip Ganassi Racing, who had an off-course adventure with Alex Lynn at the wheel, which saw that car pick up some nose damage after Lynn crashed the car on his in-lap with an hour and 15 minutes to go. The aforementioned nose damage affected co-driver Earl Bamber's run in the second half of that race. And meanwhile, we mentioned the 0-1 Cadillac and Renger van de Zander, that incident that he had in practice. They suffered from a loss of electrical power that resulted in retirement from the 0-1 Cadillac. This came after Sebastian Bourdais stopped on track 10 minutes into the race. He did manage to get the car going again before shutting it off and pitting again. They went into the pits. They tried to replace some parts, tried to get it going, but they had the same incident that reoccurred. So maybe this is a result of that accident that they had in practice, a little bit more damage than they thought. They're going to take the car back and do a breakdown. So maybe we'll get some more information on that ahead of Mid-Ohio, but definitely not a good race weekend for either of those Cadillac Chip Ganassi Racing entries. In LMP2, it was the number 8 Tower Motorsport duo of Luis Delatraz and John Ferrano that took victory. This came after Delatraz got through Josh Pearson for the lead in the final hour of the race. In fact, both of the PR1 Matheson Motorsports entries faded hard in the late going, and both of them ultimately fell off the podium. 23 seconds behind the number 8 was the number 18 Era Motorsports entry of Ryan Dalziel and Dwight Merriman, who recovered from an early race spin. And completing the podium was the number 81 Dragon Speed Orica of Juan Pablo Montoya and Henrik Hedman, who also recovered from a mistake on pit road that saw Juan Pablo Montoya spin the tires while the car was still on the jacks and resulted in a drive-through penalty. Other notables were the pole-sitting number 11 of Stephen Thomas and Jonathan Bomarito. Thomas spun the car at the start of the race and later regained the lead before spinning again on his second stint. They ultimately went on to finish in fifth. Mathieu Jaminet and Matt Campbell claimed a dominating win in GTD Pro for Pfaff Motorsports, rebounding from the team's freak pit lane incident that occurred at Long Beach to retake the championship lead. They pulled out a 31.8 second win over the number 14 Vassar Sullivan Lexus of Jack Hawksworth and Ben Barnicote, who finished in second with the number 25 team RLL BMW of Connor DeFilippi and John Edwards completing the podium in third. This was BMW's first ever GTD Pro podium. And lastly, in GTD, it was Wright Motorsports that came out on top, thanks to a late race pass by Jan Halen on Bill Oberlin for the class win. Halen came charging through the field in the late going of the race to take the victory, and the number 16 Porsche, which is driven by Halen and Ryan Hardwick, finished 5.5 seconds ahead of the number 39 Carbon with Peregrine Racing Lamborghini, driven by Jeff Westfall and Robert McGuinness, as they made a last lap overtake on Bill Oberlin for second place. Now, it is worth noting that Bill Oberlin and co-driver Robbie Foley, they did complete the podium in third, but they were dropping positions late in the race in no small part due to a bent suspension arm that they actually suffered with as they had a bit of a come together with the Corvette GTD Pro entry earlier in the race, caused some damage. And they were having to drive that limp that car to the finish line. There are a couple of post-race notes that are worth mentioning here as well, as several GTD drivers were very, very close to the 45-minute minimum drive time, as both Michael De Quesada and Rob Farrell having to get back in their Allegra Motorsports Mercedes and Hardpoint Porsches, respectively, for the final stints. De Quesada, actually, this may have had something to do with the off-course excursion with 9 minutes to go in the race. While they were running sixth in GTD, they ended up dropping some spots as a result of that issue. Meanwhile, a diffuser issue sent the number 70 Inception Racing McLaren behind the wall after also encountering multiple penalties earlier in the race. Laguna Seca marked the last GTD Pro race until sale in 6 hours of the Glen in June, with LMP3 cars rejoining the field for Mid-Ohio. And lastly, there are a number of drivers, including Pipo Durrani, Alex Lynn, Felipe Albuquerque, Ollie Jarvis, Luis Delatraz, Sebastian Bourdais, Stephen Thomas, and Josh Pearson, who have a very busy travel schedule coming up here, as they will head to the FIA World Endurance Championship event at Spa-Francorchamps before returning back to the United States for the Lexus Grand Prix at Mid-Ohio the week after. Running through the point standings, coming out of Laguna Seca in DPI, it is the number 60 Meyer-Shank Racing Acura, who is actually tied with the number 10 Konica Minolta Acura with 1,325 points apiece. This is a very tight battle, though, as there are lots of cars still in the running here. The top five separated by less than 75 points. As the number 5 JDC Miller Motorsports Cadillac has 1,308. The number 02 Chip Ganassi Racing Cadillac has 1,295. And the number 31 Whelen Engineering Racing Cadillac with 1,249. In LMP2, it is the number 52 PR1 Matheson Motorsports entry with 697 points. They are just 22 points ahead of the number 18 Era Motorsports entry, with the number 8 Tower Motorsports entry with 672 points. In GTD Pro, it is, as we mentioned, the Pfaff Motorsports number 9 Porsche leading the way with 1,345 points. Corvette Racing and the number 3 have 1,295, while in third place, it is the Vassar Sullivan Lexus with 1,265 points. That's 140 points ahead of the fourth place WeatherTech Racing Mercedes. And then lastly, in GTD, another tight battle going on here between the top two teams, as it's the number 16 Wright Motorsports Porsche ahead of the number 32 Gilbert Korthoff Motorsports Mercedes by 30 points. The number 96 Turner Motorsports entry is in third. They have 783 points compared to the leaders 985. So couple hundred points back of the leaders. Still lots of racing to go this season, but there could be quite the battle that might be shaping up there between those top two teams. Last weekend was a huge weekend for racing, and this weekend is no different. F1 is back in North America as they head to the Miami Street Circuit. Qualifying for that is on Saturday at 4 p.m. Eastern, with the race coming on Sunday at 3:30 p.m. Eastern time. Also on this weekend, NASCAR heads to Darlington for a full weekend of racing. The trucks will be on track Friday night at 7:30 Eastern for the Dead On Tools 200. Meanwhile, the Xfinity Series hits the track on Saturday afternoon at 1:30 p.m. Eastern time for the Mahindra Roxer 200. And then finally, it's the Cup Series that rounds off the weekend on Sunday at 3:30 p.m. Eastern time for the Goodyear 400. Also on this weekend, the World Endurance Championship is at Circuit Spa-Francorchamps for the 6 hours of Spa. That race goes on Sunday at 7 a.m. Eastern. You can check your local listings for where that will be broadcast. I do know that if you do have Discovery Velocity, it will be broadcast on that. But that is going to wrap up our Hyundai Monterey Sports Car Championship at WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca. Ooh, glad I won't have to say that anymore. Review episode. A big thank you, as always, to our early Patreon supporters. And if you too want to support the show, then you can go to patreon.com/offintheesses. You can also support the show by hitting that subscribe or follow button on your favorite podcasting app to never miss a new episode, and by leaving us a review. You can follow along with us on Twitter at Off in the S's or on YouTube at Off in the S's Podcast. Once again, a big thank you for tuning in. I hope everyone has a great race weekend and doesn't go off in the S's.